Welcome to Notcast, episode 263.
I thought it was like 2063, no?
It only feels that way.
Oh, okay.
The ride will never end. Remember when we said, like, in episode 60, haha, we're probably not going to be doing this in a couple of years? Yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
Insert sounds of weeping here.
Well, no, because this very fiesta was at our fifth or sixth.
We didn't record
it. We had
it.
The cake at the fifth year. Yeah. We had the cake on the fifth birthday.
And we've been going for six and a half years now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but we didn't do one last year between scheduling and just needing a relax.
Yeah. So, yeah. Boy, were we wrong. So I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we're Notcast. So, it is September 11th.
13 years, is it? Yeah.
13 years since some crazy motherfuckers caused some shit. And we used that as an excuse to blow the shit out of the Middle East for 13 years.
Yeah. That's when Tiran and I met.
But in 2001?
Yeah.
Ah.
Mm.
And that brought the country to war. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You and Tiran, it wasn't the terrorists attacking the Twin Towers.
It was
gay wolves. Well, and gay wolf weddings.
So clearly gay wolves can cause catastrophes, because we met in September of 2001, and then I moved to Dallas to move in with Tiran the year Hurricane Katrina happened, and then my mom died the year of our 10th anniversary.
I'm no mathematician, but that adds up.
So I was kind of worried, and I had mentioned it to, funny enough, my dental hygienist, who is also Tiran's dental hygienist and has been since he was a child, I hope the world doesn't end when we get married. And she's like, oh, honey, if California falls into the sea, it's not going to be because of you.
Hey, you know, there is like some crazy ass solar flare that's coming to the earth, they were saying.
Oh, shit.
So I'm just saying, I'll make sure this episode goes up tonight. So that just in case, if this is the last ever Notcast episode, people might be able to hear it before the X-class solar flare fries all of our electronics forever. Mm-hmm. And we go into a new dark age.
Yep. Where we'll have to release Notcast on vinyl.
Yeah, and just have to distribute it through stores out the U.S. That's going to be so expensive.
And there'll be no electricity, so fans will have to hand crank on the vinyl player.
Hey, that's how they did it back in the early days.
That's right.
We'll be underground in our bunkers, and also underground.
Yeah. It's an underground bunker. It's shaped like an igloo, but underground.
An inverted igloo, so it's like a pit, and we have balls in it.
You guys do have balls, so
yes,
we can have balls in our pit.
So you want to climb into my? Do you want an hour in my ball pit?
No. Speaking of ball pits, though, so you know how we're part and founding members of DRAMA, the Dallas Regional and the Porn for Meeting Association, but our acronym is DRAMA.
Mm-hmm.
And this ties into the ball pits.
Oh,
so DashCon has been officially canceled for 2015. DashCon no longer exists as an entity, but two of the people that were part of the three that ran it have come and formed So Attacked Entertainment.
Oh my god.
The phrase, I came here to have fun, but I'm feeling so attacked right now, which was like a shitty Tumblr meme for a little while.
Oh.
They started up a new LLC titled So Attacked Entertainment. It's like the Tumblr version of DRAMA as a name.
Oh.
And they're trying to start up some gig called Emoticon, which is like they're basically throwing their LLC under the bus going, lol, one me, and trying to just pull the same sort of thing.
What's funny is they're doing it in the same venue, and the venue says Emoticon and still has the link to the URL of DashCon.
Yeah.
So, it's clearly the same fucking people.
It is the same fucking people. It's just, ridiculous.
I mean, the name Emoticon for a geek-based online convention, though.
From the people who flopped one con, here's another.
Here's round two. And we're trying to be inclusive of things like Reddit and 4chan in addition to Tumblr, because those guys go together like sodium and water.
Boom.
Mm.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that reaction is not the same as chocolate and peanut butter.
No. But I literally got a phone call at like 9 a.m. this morning going, Jesus Christ, you're not going to believe this.
Who, from Bob?
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
And he's like, this made my morning. Let me tell you a thing.
Was this emoticon? Yeah, I found out about that weeks ago.
Well, the announcement that
The
so attacked, and that was just a great way to start the morning.
Mm.
And yeah, God, those guys. You know, it's great that, you know, there's other people to help take some of the heat off the Brony community. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. these other fuckers, look at them, don't look at us. Ha ha ha. We didn't do it. That was in 2012. man. So that was my fun bit for the morning. I was just like, oh my God, this is
hilarious.
Hilarious and sad and sadlarious.
Hadn't heard that term before.
I just made it up.
Awesome.
He's good like that.
TM Saffron.
Yep. What else? It's been a pretty calm week, all things considered. I mean, holy fuck balls, 43 days out on my end. Holy shit.
You're shitting rainbows in fear.
Yeah. That's why the toilet broke in there.
Yeah.
Boom.
Couldn't take the rainbow poop.
My sonic rain boom just came out the wrong end and just shattered. Yeah. Before we started recording, we had a minor plumbing emergency. One of the tanks in the guest bathroom on the toilet had begun to leak. And Fuzz thankfully caught it before it became a flood in the entire bathroom and damaged the carpet. So that's good.
Yay. I'm laughing because I was just thinking of this snippet from an online conversation I saw somewhere where like someone that wasn't familiar with MLP characters was responding to a picture someone posted, and they're like, is that blue one shitting a rainbow, or is that her tail? I'm good with either.
Yeah. She flies so fast, she just shits. She actually shit-powered. You know? And, you know, and little did you know that also, according to Lauren Faust, Pegasi poop helium.
that's why they're so light.
Their shit floats away.
Yeah.
And then somebody did an animation of it. Rainbow farting just... and turds just fly away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where else do shit storms come from?
Exactly. So, I mean, they self-generate.
Oh, honey, you gotta silence that shit.
It's not mine.
Yeah, it is. Mine's on airplane and silenced.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna do a little head bop. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I stand corrected.
So, yeah, that's exciting.
Mm.
My life is terror. Not really. Mm. It's just like, well, I got to get X, Y, and Z done in the next little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, plan for, you know, on-site stuff.
I'm doing the den for you guys, but Fiesta's den is
going. Oh, my God. That Monday.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Is your bunker ready?
Yes.
Have you gotten the blast doors, your 50-year supply of buckets of food, your survivalist water recycler so you can drink your own piss?
What, my still suit? Yeah.
Yeah. Government has those. They're just keeping them from you.
I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah, because there's only so many spots and a lot more than that people applied.
Yeah.
You could have people fight it out, you know, two dealers enter, one dealer leave.
Well, that would have been great if we were still doing the Beyond Thunderdome theme.
Thunderdome theme, yeah.
But no. Mm. Ours is a little bit more PG this year.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's the Toontown.
Yeah. Well, we could go Felix the Cat. Not Felix. Fritz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fritz the Cat. There's a difference. Know the difference. It could save your life.
And your ass.
Mm-hmm. And your ass. And, you know, Felix, I don't think it's murdered at the end of his book.
No.
Spoilers.
So, no, I mean, I think we're tweaking the last little things. It's pretty much ready to go, but working on that last little couple of...
My mom saw that email come in, and she's like, oh, boy. I'm like... You tweeted it or something, You said something somewhere. She saw it and was like, "Make sure you check your inbox on the 15th."
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that's when you announced that, you know, it was on the main Twitter account for.
Yeah, Fiesta. I did that. This morning.
That is coming. It's coming.
Email is coming.
Yes.
So I'm just waiting for our last couple of details, and then we should be good to go for good or evil, mostly evil.
Actually, I have some dealers and stuff to ask you before you leave tonight.
I figured it's that time of year.
Yeah. Just...
Should I let this dildo salesman in my G-rated convention for ponies?
No.
No. No, you shouldn't.
No.
No, bad idea.
No matter how good those pony anuses feel,
also
you should not sell them at nightmare nights.
No. They won't be sold, that's for sure. actually, and I do have to make that list of like bootleg shit for you to look over to. Because, yeah, so I went down to Austin and went to Brony Fan Fair last weekend. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, a lot of their vendors had bootleg bullshit, like a surprising amount.
So the way you explained it to me, people take images that popular artists have drawn on the net, and some Chinese company prints them on pillowcases and other things like
that.
Yeah,
and it's not even prints. Like the vendor themselves. It's just they troll the net for random things. Like, there's fucking character sheets that are on these pillowcases of people's OCs, and they're, like, shitty OCs even.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, really popular brony artists just have their shit printed on pillowcases.
And then someone's like, I guess, hey, I'm looking for shit to sell, so they buy it as a distributor from the Chinese company and sell it.
And they also had the knockoff plush.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but there's a vendor who was selling a really good Zecora plush last year.
Mm-hmm.
Her design has been copied and is being sold by these same Chinese companies that do these plush.
Now, did Fanfare not tell them to cut that shit out?
They didn't.
Did you tell them about it?
Yeah.
They just ignored it.
They just, they had like 6 actual vendors in their vendor hall and then 10 people in their artist alley. It's not like they had a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if they kicked out half of them.
Yeah, it would be pretty decrepit. Like, they had wall scrolls with fucking comic book covers on them, complete with IDW logos.
Mm-hmm.
They had one that was a fucking DVD cover. Adventures in the Crystal Empire, which is like several, like 5 episodes that all feature the Crystal Empire and on Pony.
Yeah.
And it's just the fucking DVD cover.
Since it's probably like scanned from the actual DVD cover.
Yeah, it's like shit
it's
quality.
It's probably not good quality. Yeah.
That
was actually happening in the... the Dakimakura to the Daki artists as well, where like you could either buy it from Furry Dakimakura or Mad Mabel, but people were like downloading the, you know, 96 DPI web image or something like that.
Blowing it up and getting...
blowing it up and having it printed, and then of course it's all blurry and pixelated and shit, but... I guess some people don't care, you know, they want their waifu for
the
cheap.
The thing is, they're still like just as expensive almost to get the shitty version.
Yeah.
Because when that first came up and people actually looked into it, and it's like, yeah, getting a custom image on a Dakimakura, a single sided, is like $50.
You might as well buy a legit.
And it's
one.
Like, why don't you just spend $75 and get it double sided from the artist that's actual legit?
Yeah, that's actually crystal
quality.
Clear. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just kind of weird. And they had these shitty injection molded, like rubbery keychains, which are just, they look terrible. And then, of course, there was somebody for some reason or another that was selling supernatural stuff, like the little shoulder tote bags and shit. Like,
oh, random.
Yeah. And the thing is, none of that shit's licensed.
Mm.
So it's just like there's a good number of things that we just need to watch out for. And like what was really bad is like there's these guys that had. They were trying to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project, which is basically helps wounded soldiers, wounded veterans, like, out financially and with medical shit. And to raise money for their cause, they were selling these bootleg plush for, like, $100 to $150 a piece.
Did you tell them that they're knockoffs of somebody's legit thing, or did you just kind of...
I said something to the vendor lead, but I wasn't, like, gonna, like...
Go to individual heads. People.
Not my con, really. And the thing is the chairman probably didn't give half a fuck. So, I mean, yeah. But that's something that we're going to have to be real careful on. Because, I mean, think about it in the furry community. if some motherfucker was coming in and selling pillowcases
with Michelle Light,
Light or insert or Blotch or Rukus, and they weren't licensed, and that motherfucker showed up at a con with that product with the same artist there.
Oh, they kill him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. What's bad is, like, in our case, like, we have one of the artists who has his art is popularly pirated coming and vending, as well as a plush maker who's had one of her designs pirated. And we, I mean, we'd let the art, the originating artist have their way with them, and then we'd kick the remaining body parts out the door. But it's just like, Jesus Christ. How, I mean, I think it really has to go down to the fact that the Brony community is not mature enough. It hasn't had to deal with bootlegs and nonsense like this. In the anime con scene, they're old enough. They've been around forever. That they are brutal when it comes to bootleg
furries
stuff.
Too. Like, same with every furries. Vendor room has very clearly posted rules about no bootlegs and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like the pony scene is not old enough to have had to deal with this, and it's just kind of bizarre.
It's nice I don't have to worry about that since I publish all this shit myself.
Yeah, I mean, but no one's going to be selling shitty black and white color copies stapled together of, you know, Trevor's Tricks or Sempikos' latest art book.
Right. They It'd be funny if they tried.
But, you know.
Well, I mean, that, like, 90s style black and white stapled fanzine is just not going to fucking fly nowadays anyway.
Yeah.
You know, with print on demand, our quality is all too high.
Are you implying that bootleg copies of the Spiral Bound Taipan universe is not going to be okay?
No, not at all.
Damn.
Only the original
black and white pink covered Spiral Bound Tales from the Taipan universe.
I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
I don't think they are. I have a copy of one of the issues, though, on my shelf.
From, like, the 90s? I
bought it at Anthrocon 04.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my first furry comp. So, yeah.
I bought those for Chester. I need to actually read them sometime.
I bought it for Chester. I don't think I ever actually read the stories, but it had a bunch of
I've read one of the stories, I think.
It had a bunch of Chester art in it.
Yeah. I think I read one of the stories that was in the Ursa Major anthology, available from forplanet.com, which I actually didn't mean to make that a plug, but I legit did read one of the stories that was in there. And
I mean, it was pretty good. School, I mean, it's like, you know your roots, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because Taipan was going in, like, the late 90s, too. Mm-hmm. It'd been going for a while by the time I was first at a con to even come across it.
I think it's still going. I just don't know what the...
It could be an ongoing story thing, but I'm pretty sure they don't make spiral bound black and white interior zines anymore and sell them for $5.
Mimeographed.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
So I've got what I'm doing right now. I'm prepping for Rainforest.
Yeah, that's coming up.
It's 2 weeks. It's too close. God. I'm not ready for another thing.
Which hotel is it up there? It's right off by the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Hilton that's like...
Every hotel they've had has been like right off the airport, basically. I don't know which one it's in.
Well, there's like three right there. There's the one, like the Holiday Inn that I think is now Crown Plaza.
It's not the one with the really amazing atrium.
Okay, so it's going to be the one just south of the Crown Plaza.
I wish I could remember. I want to say it's like a Hilton or something.
Yeah, I like that one is really convenient. It's really convenient if you're flying in and don't have a car. It's also really, really inconvenient because there's no restaurants anywhere nearby.
Yeah, that is a problem. I believe we're renting a car. We did last year because we ship all of our stuff to my friend Nikki's comic shops. By the way, if you're in the Seattle area, Phoenix Comics and Games in the Capitol Hill area of Seattle, check it out. It's furry-owned and operated.
And gay.
And gay. It's actually the gay area, apparently.
Yeah, Capitol Hill.
Yeah. So so that's our friend. He owns a comic shop.
It's gay, furry. Gay, furry. And a comic shop.
He doesn't actually sell furry stuff. It's just a comic shop that's owned by a gay person. But he's a gay furry. So it's kind of like... If you want to support a furry who's running his own business, you know.
Yeah.
But briefly, there will be a lot of gay furry porn in his store and some gay furry not porn as well, because he will be holding all of my stuff like he did last year. And then we'll need a rental car to swing by Phoenix, pick up our stock, and bring it to the convention. We will not be opening our table on Thursday. So RF has this thing where they have dealer set up on Wednesday and dealer set up from 10 to noon on Thursday, I think.
Wait, what?
And then they open the dealer's room for sales on Thursday from noon to 6 p.m.
What the fuck?
And, like, our flights land at 10 a.m. Thursday. So we are not intending to run around, grab our stock, bring it to the con, and set up in 2 hours.
That's nuts, though. I mean, obviously, Rainforest has been around long enough for people to show up on Thursday. But they're, still,
I guess they're trying to push it into the 4 or 5 day con territory.
Man, that is rough.
Some of the older sci-fi cons do this. You know, a World Con, a lot of the other more mainstream sci-fi cons, comic cons do 4 or 5 day long dealer's room. But, you know, we're not going to actually sell any more in 4 days than we would in 3.
Only so much money to go around.
Yeah. Your population doesn't change in that amount of time. People still will crowd into a room. I actually like some of the conversations I've seen where people have been like, maybe we need to reduce dealer's room hours instead of expanding them.
Well,
you know, if the dealer's den was open from like noon to 6 every day, the dealers would love it because we could actually get breakfast and not have to like stuff a muffin in our mouth and run with our cash box to the dealer's room. And, you know, like Friday is my favorite day of dealing at Anthrocon because the room doesn't open until noon. So I have time to like wake up at a leisurely pace and get a full night's sleep and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd actually just rather like 6 hours a day for 3 days instead of like 8 hours a day for 4 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's like that's something that we've had to like look at ourselves, and it's also something that Fiesta's had to look at, you know, because we're going to be a 3 day con. I mean, at the end of a 3 day con,
everyone
is tired as shit, right?
4 day cons, the staff is like, fuck no.
No.
It's like, I'm worn after 3. I can't handle 4.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't mind like the social gathering spaces and stuff on a Thursday evening or something like that. But
no, and we got that for us, but I mean, shit.
We were in a panel on a Thursday night at Fiesta, and it was very sparsely attended.
I know what to talk about.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, for Adam and Eve? Or?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. No. So what kind of, you may have seen it on Twitter. You may not have. But Drama's putting on a new event.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about this now.
Yeah, now we can since we're moving forward.
Yeah.
So, summer 2015, Drama's holding yet another event. Wait for it. Furry Siesta, which is, a siesta is a nice relaxing nap at the middle of the high point of the day. So, it's a relaxing event at the high point of summer. We're still working on the exact dates with the hotel. It will be sometime either late July or early August. We'll be able to actually sign the date when we got the piece of paper. Well, announce the date when we got the piece of paper in our hands. But we've got like a couple blocks of, you know, rooms and everything set aside. We just need to sign the paper before we make a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
world exclusive.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Well, it was on Twitter. So what it's going to be is Furry Siesta is going to be about a 2-day event. It will start, again, we have to lock this down with a hotel for the exact hours, but it will be from probably in the late afternoon, early evening on Friday, overnight till Saturday, all day Saturday. And then I'm not sure what time on Saturday. Well, nah, it'll be really late, like sometime between 11 and 1 a.m. We'll have to give up the room back to the hotel, but that's enough time for people to do their thing. So we're going to be in the Crown Plaza, Fiesta's original hotel.
It's birthplace.
Since we were last in the Fiesta Hotel, the Crown Plaza, they have completely renovated. Nightmare Nights was there last year. It looks gorgeous.
Yep.
It looks really swank. They've redone all their spaces. So basically what we're going to be doing is the room that we use for the gathering room, the corral, aka Whispering Oaks, it's that bottom floor, if you've ever been to Fiesta, a room in the corner, where it's got the stage, it's got the snack bar, it's got all of that happy stuff. And basically we're renting that room, which gives us an full reign of the hotel, which in summer means air conditioning. That in Texas is priceless. Yes. Because it means that you're not going to die when you fursuit. So if you want a suit, here's an entire hotel with AC. There's also, we'll have full access to the pool.
Which you shouldn't fursuit in at all.
No. But there's the bar. We'll have a room to gather in, play games in. We'll have snacks, food, beverage.
So it's going to be like a big Fermi.
Yes, to an extent. It will not be free. We'll have to charge a nominal fee, but that's to pay for the room and pay for the snacks. That's all that we're going to need the money for.
That's sweet. Sort of vor party, the nominal fee.
So the idea is we provide a central area where people can post their room parties, where they can meet up and say, hey, where are you at? Well, let's meet down the corral. And so that they can come down and find each other somewhere in this hotel. Where they can meet up, you know, depends on what we do with it. We might have gaming, we might have a movie. We have to look and see what the hotel will let us do. But we can pretty much borrow most of Fiesta's equipment for whatever we want to do it with.
And so, I happen to know a guy who owns a lot of Vidya stuff and gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So we also have to look at what we can squeeze into that room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea is people come in, they get a room or split a room at the hotel. If they're over 21, it's a safe place to drink and not have to worry about drive and still hang out.
Get fucked up. Or not.
Thank you, Fuzz. you can go swimming. You can grab a snack. It's a way to play with people indoors in the summer in Texas and not fucking die.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like we're going to have an outdoor park meetup where everyone's like, come for a suit. It's only 110 outside.
Yeah, so if we want to do something in the summertime, you have to have air conditioning. Because anything after what? About end of May, between November, if you suit outside for any amount of time, I don't know how the Addison Fermi people do it, but, you know.
I mean, it's still September, and it was like 104 yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, seriously.
I moved from one air-conditioned oasis to another.
That's basically
Oh,
it.
My God. So, like yesterday.
Oh, hang on one second. Sorry. Follow Furry Siesta on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It already has its own Twitter account.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, yesterday I was dressed moderately nice to go out and do what I was doing. And, like, in the time I would go from my car to the place, I would just start pouring sweat. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Those jeans and a polo and 104-degree weather.
And you're starting to melt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the key point is a nice place to gather and be cool in the summer in this area of the country is priceless.
Yeah.
So, small nominal fee, two-day event, overnight even if we lose the room at 11 p.m. Saturday, we can probably still put the message board out in the hallway, and people can use that to find each other's room parties. I mean, it's still going to be full access to the hotel to play for a weekend.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, and have been wanting to do that for a while, and things shook out in a particular way to allow us to do this, so
yes.
That's cool that we're going to actually make it a reality.
Yeah. Stock up on the lube and condoms.
So far, the reaction has been very like, ooh, really?
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people aren't going to necessarily travel to do it, but if there's... You know, it's...
God, I hope not, because what if it turned out totally fucking ridiculous?
Oh, God, that'd be
like
terrible.
Like, it was still the same size as Fiesta.
Oh.
it'll be like Fiesta Year One size. Oh, shit.
Yeah, we'll see. So, I'm looking
like
forward to it.
People.
I'm kind of hitting it. It's basically a Fermi on steroids, so I'm not chair. There's no such thing as a chair for a Fermi. I'm kind of heading the committee, but I'm not... you know,
you're the head chicat in charge.
I can't really know, but I'm nothing like Path, and I'm nothing like a chair. I'm just kind of, I'm more like a guardian than a Path.
Just a clarification for people that like to sit down: there will be chairs at this event.
I will not be one of them. I'm a couch. I am not a chair.
So that sounds cool, and I'm glad we're going to be able to do that.
Me too. And it's been a long time brewing. We used to do the Akon parties, and then...
Because that's where I met you, at like Akon 13.
Well, even that Fiesta used to put on Akon room parties, and it just kind of got too big for...
Too fucking expensive.
Yeah. Well, it got expensive, but we couldn't... We were getting slammed at the room party, and it just was getting out of hand. I mean, we got a ton of people.
A ton of there. People, but it wasn't like... generating commiserate amounts of like registrations.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of those parties, guys. Sorry.
Whereas the point of this one, but it's also like more brand marketing as well.
And this one, I mean, we will have the ability to register for Fiesta, and we will have some kind of perk for if you were at the prior Fiesta meeting, Fiesta 2015. Well, we're going to give something to the returning members. We just haven't worked out what. But this thing is meant to be self-sustaining. So that hence, you know, so we're not exactly Fiesta related. We're like a cousin or a sibling, maybe the redheaded stepchild.
The redheaded stepchild.
But that's why it's not going to be such a registration. It will be a drama event. And, of course, it's got the furry fiesta, it'll still raise awareness, but you know, we're not the same creature, we're just a cousin. So
cool beans. So it is now
8:45.
Well, 38 minutes in.
Sometime somewhere.
Well, I think at this point, did we have anything else non-pot email that we wanted to talk about?
Not really.
Didn't we want to see what Shiva's opinion
was? Oh, okay, yeah. So last week...
Shiva's thing?
Shiva's opinion on the Gamergate stuff, Zoe Quinn and her five guys and the general corruption in the gaming media and all that nonsense, if you have paid any attention to it.
I paid some. I got the gist that she kind of slept with some people to get her name out there, and to get reviews or something.
Yeah, something like that, but it basically showed a lot of how incestuous the developer community is with the journalists, and I say journalists with quotation fingers. Okay, we discussed it briefly last week and was like, well, you know, Shiva wasn't here, so maybe she has an opinion on this. Because, I mean, you're a gamer.
I'm a gamer, but more than that, you know, there were a couple of people on Twitter that were like, you know, you shouldn't. It was one, it was slut shaming because, yeah, but. And they were very defensive of, oh, don't come after her. Other people have done this. You know, you don't know their personal relationship. And from what I gathered of it, no, her husband, boyfriend, whatever her partner's relationship status is, didn't know wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And that's where I started having a problem with it. It's when you delve into cheating versus open. Now, if they had an open relationship and he was okay with this and then people were coming after her, I'd be like, no, that's their own business. But I'm not. Yeah, there's a lot of corruption going on. But no, she cheated on her other half. That just kind of.
Yeah.
No.
And it's interesting because we're kind of coming from different angles here. It's like we were like, yeah, she fucked up and we would never condone this. But, you know, we kind of went off on the whole, you know, relationships between developers and reviewers and the indie scene and whatnot. And of course, your attack is kind of like, yeah, she cheated on the guy, which is true. And it's just a different angle because, I mean, you know, you aren't, in fact, a white male fedora wearing misogynerd neckbeard. You're in fact a vagina having human female.
And my thing is.
And is a gamer.
Well, yeah, and mine. But I'm also the kind of like. I'm of the tilt of, you know, let people make their own fucking rules. It's not up to you to shame them, at least as far as calling her a slut, you know. But she broke her own partnership.
Yeah.
With her other half, you know, whatever that gender is. And that's what really beyond, I would have been a lot more defensive of her if she was indulging in within their own rule set.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, if they had been within the rule set, this wouldn't have even come into light because it would have been within the rules and he wouldn't have had a real reason.
Well,
blow it up unless, and if they had been in an open relationship and he did this, he'd be the asshole.
Is he the one? Is it him that his her other half that blew this all up?
Is her ex?
Yeah, her ex is the one. See, I didn't know how it came to light.
Yeah, it was an ex basically going, "Hey, I found out about this shit. Jesus Christ, time to blow it open."
Yeah, she did cheat on him.
Yeah,
that's why he's the ex. But
yeah,
so I didn't know how it came to light. If somebody got an email they shouldn't, or
he actually made an entire WordPress site dedicated to just posting their conversations and stuff where they were talking about
screen caps,
who she was fucking, and everything,
logs and stuff, like meticulously.
He went a little over the edge in his being so absolutely pissed that he took the time to put a whole
website together.
But, yeah,
you know, it's one thing to be cheated upon; it's another thing to be cheated upon by like with five other dudes.
Yeah, see, and I'd be a lot more. But I mean, she fucked up royally in many different ways. I mean, she screwed up their relationship, and she was very corrupt in how she and everybody.
Yeah.
Basically, the currency that was being passed, sex for favors, is not cool. Not at all.
Yeah.
But the initial reaction that I saw on Twitter was basically, I follow a couple of people who are fairly heavy social justice. Oops, where they were initially defending her. I don't know what their current status is, where you don't know, you know, you have got no... Basically... Yeah. And it's like, I see your point, but they broke their rules. That's bad.
And, you know, and that's a completely legitimate tack to take, the sexual ethics part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we asked you, so mm-hmm. you'd have a different take.
So on that note, do you want to take a break? And then
we don't have that many emails. So we're going to take a break, play a song, and Shiva has us an Adam and Eve item, a dong of the week, and we will be back.
Let your lips up to my baby. Let your feelings take control. Feel the heat wave through your body. Let the fever of your candy heart. Words you whisper into my ear, awaken the love inside while then be still. Touch it.
Let your lips up to my baby. Let your feelings
We're back. That was 5 minutes by Sublevel 3. Sublevel3.us. Check them out. They're cool guys.
Yeah. They let us use that song for like 5 years now.
Fucking ever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you should check them out. They're cool guys. They're still doing music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So check them out. Buy their albums. It's furry music. Holy shit. And they're just cool guys. I like them a lot.
Yep.
So this week from Adam and Eve, it's not going to be a dong, it's going to be lube, because lube is handy.
Very.
For your butt. Specifically, this is for System Joe's H2O Animal Lubricant. So.
Water butt lube.
Water butt lube. Also safe for any kind of silicone toys. Very important. So you don't have to melt your dongs.
Oh man, that'd be bad.
Don't melt your dongs, it's bad. They turn really gummy and sticky and ugh.
I killed a back in the day, we had, like, the Fleshlight.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally killed one of those with the silicone lube.
Well, because
did it melt onto your cock?
No.
That you had to, like, cut it off carefully?
That would have been really embarrassing. But no, it was just one of the, like, the full-size ones.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was, like, grabbed the wrong bottle one day and fucking melted that shit.
Fucking tore that shit up.
The thing is, it's permanently sticky. You can't use it. So I eventually threw it away.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn, that was a $65 toy just ruined.
Yeah.
Shit.
Because you used the wrong goo.
I grabbed the wrong fucking dick goo.
Or it turns out that Fennec dick goo is silicon based. You're like, no, I can't even come in my Fleshlight. I have to wear a condom, which is also made of silicon. Oh,
shit. So System Joe is one of the lubes that we've talked about before. They're usually fairly high quality. They don't have a lot of bad scent like some of the cheaper lubes can go.
Mm-hmm. Don't use Astroglide, kids.
Yeah, or wet. Wet smells funny.
Yeah.
So System Joe's pretty high quality. This one is, what size is this one? I'm trying to see the size, but it's $12.95. And 8 fluid ounces, and a little goes a long way. And if it starts to dry out, you can always apply a little bit of water of various sources, and it usually slickens right back up again. So it's $12.95, but we've got this handy dandy coupon code, and when you put it in, it's KNOT. And when you put it on, it knocks off the shipping. So in this case, it knocks off $5. And you get one item for half off. So instead of, $12.95 plus another $5 in shipping, you get the whole thing, no shipping charges, for $6.48.
Shit, that's like cheaper than even the cheapest shitty lube.
Yeah, so you can actually get some decent lube without spending a ton of money and, you don't have to go with Astro.
And yeah, a little goes a long way.
And fuck KY. KY is crap.
Man, don't do that. So, don't fuck with KY. That's what you want to say.
Yes, don't fuck with KY.
Mm-hmm.
KY ain't nothing to fuck with.
Ugh. I mean, it's basically like
Yeah, it's gross.
No.
It's the bottom of the fucking barrel.
Yeah, desperation.
Bottom
only.
Of the fucking barrel. I'm sorry.
We're just going to sit here and judge you.
It's all right.
I said something terrible, some pun or something on the way over here, and Tyrion just turns to me and goes, "Get out."
at least he didn't open the door and push this time.
He's like,
which is funny because I made a reference to BoJack Horseman where he has to bring his ex-girlfriend home who's also his agent. He's like, "Okay, fine, but I'm not going to slow down, so you'll have to jump out and roll." And she's like in the middle of talking and he just shoves her, and she's a cat, so she's like, "Wah!"
And lands on our feet.
Yeah.
Have you watched that? I mean, I haven't taken the time.
Four episodes of it so far.
I watched the first episode, and then I saw porn on FA of it. It's like, what the fuck, people? The thing is
dude, there's porn of Five Nights at Freddy's, and they're dead children stuffed in animatronic suits.
Yeah. That's,
don't fuck the robots.
That's kind of more creepy. Though, what's funny is, yeah, I saw porn from that show before I saw the show, but I saw Rule 34 of Mr. Peanut Butter. And it was really cute. And I was like, oh. I gave the show a chance because people had told me that the first episode was kind of slow, but then it really picked up after that. So
the porn I saw was like Mr. Peanut Butter giving BoJack a blowjob. And it looked like a frame out of the goddamn show.
Oh.
No, the art looked like they basically picked it up from. It looked like it could have been done by the
actual artist. Yeah, it was on model.
And see, that's the thing, is like, I don't really like the visual appearance of that show.
Yeah, I wouldn't find it hot.
Well, not even that. It's just it's like Rick and Morty, which is another cartoon. It's like the exact same visual style. It's a step above, say, Super Jail and way above Squidbillies, but it's not like a super enticing visual style that makes me want to dig into it.
No, I was mostly admiring because it mimicked it so well. Not that I admired the style, but I can admire the ability to make it look like it was done by that art crew.
Yeah, I'm just an animation snob.
You know what I really like, though? I really like the opening credits.
I mean, yeah.
They're really cool.
I'll give it a chance. Because, I mean, I've watched some of a regular show, and I don't like the animation style necessarily on that one. I think it's all right. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And it's on Netflix. That's what's really cool, though. It's a Netflix original series. The whole thing's on there.
Did you see, like, didn't Netflix do an original episode of anime or something like that?
I don't know about that, but, like, they have Season 6 Clone Wars, which is Netflix exclusive, as well as, like, Season something of, like, Arrested Development.
I love the fact that they're producing their own
that's
stuff.
Really cool, because they can do the weird shit that wouldn't necessarily, like, hit it on TV.
Orange is the New Black is theirs, and that's hot as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fucking brilliant. It's basically a web series, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's a web series that has a proper production budget, and it's only on Netflix, and it's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Netflix in general.
It's not even extra. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're still paying your $10 a month for their streaming service, and you get these original series. Like Hemlock Grove, that show was shit.
I never saw it.
It was shit. House of Cards apparently is pretty good, though.
I've heard that House of Cards is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple episodes and it kind
of...
Not
my thing, but, you know, it's an American remake of a British TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Being Human was.
Yeah.
But...
And maybe they won't fucking cancel it if their ratings...
And that's what's great, though, is like the show, they just make the whole fucking thing, put the whole fucking thing up there, and you can Netflix it. It's a verb now.
Yeah. I thought it was binge watching is the term.
No, that's when you go through an entire series one after another after another after another.
It's to Netflix it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm introducing Sarah to Eureka at the moment.
Ah, it's a fun show.
And we've gone through, we're up to season four. I saw
it. Oh, so you're all the way up to like the end.
No, it goes seven series. Seven?
Seven? I thought it only went four.
Something like that. But I watched it as
it was
like playing.
Split it up.
So.
Okay. Yeah, and like, well, we watched all of Warehouse 13 on Netflix.
I love when they cross pollinate, and Fargo comes on Warehouse 13.
I love that show. I miss it.
I do too. I need to watch the last season.
Sci-fi has like, I mean, the show kind of could have reached its end. I mean, they only have so many weird random artifacts to find, but it was also sad to see it go.
I love Artie in that.
Yeah, Artie.
I don't know.
It's a good show. You should check it out. It's weird. I will.
If you like Eureka, you'll like Warehouse 13. I haven't 13.
Seen Eureka.
Weird MacGuffin of the week causing problems somewhere, and they have to hunt it down and contain it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like HG. HG is hot.
Yes. HG Wells.
Hmm. Okay.
Was a woman.
Hmm.
The more you know.
I'll watch it with all this time I have.
Yes, I know. You are just sitting around on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You are sitting and spinning full 720. Mm-hmm. Even the government, their anus scans.
Yes.
Yeah, I've continued to listen to Blame It on Outer Space, and it's still pretty funny.
I need to listen to that sometime, too.
They've got a bunch of episodes, so it's like, oh, great, it's a new podcast I can get into that's not self-serious and is actually like a very smart satire of conspiracy theorist podcasts.
Mm. Sounds cool.
The one I listened to most recently was that the conspiracy that they were tackling was that Alex Jones is, in fact, Bill Hicks.
Who? And who?
Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist behind Prison Planet and InfoWars, what is in fact the a long con put on by Bill Hicks, who is a popular comedian who died of pancreatic cancer in 1992.
Oh.
They're fairly visually similar, and Alex Jones only got popular after Bill died.
Hmm.
So it's a legitimate conspiracy theory, and they just took the piss out of it for an hour.
Nice.
In a very self-serious but not quite serious way.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Huh.
So we should get to the emails because
I was going to mention something. It's a furry public service announcement. This is important for our straight and bisexual furries. So Wet Blush, which is the sister site to Hard Blush, it's the straight version of Hard Blush, basically. art by
straight furry porn.
Anta's on there, Atril's on
fucking
there.
Atril.
A lot of the folks from Hard Blush are on there. But anyway, they decided to try a different business model than Hard Blush. And they had initially started out with the you pay a monthly fee, you subscribe to it, and you get access to it.
Basically.
Yeah. And they changed over to a Patreon model. And they were like, if we make X amount per week on the Patreon, we'll just say fuck it and open the site up for everyone. Mm-hmm. And they recently hit that milestone. They're making just over $550 a week on Patreon, which is like $2,200 a month. So now if you go to Hard Blush, anybody can just click.
Hard Blush or Wet Blush?
Wet Blush, excuse me. Thank you. If you go to wetblush.com now, you can just click yes, I'm 18 or over.
Browse that shit.
And have full access to everything they got there.
I mean, that's what's really cool about Patreon. I mean, if you have a bunch of Patreons, you can suddenly find yourself giving a lot of people a lot of money. But I think it's really cool. It allows people to, toss a couple bucks that way.
Yeah.
We still need to get that, some new official art for us so we can actually
set up our Patreon. Yeah, I've been slacking.
Because, we're not expecting a ton of people. But still, it'd be nice if people wanted to toss a couple bucks our way each month. At least enough to help Fuzz's server bill.
We'll either do it per month or per episode or something.
Yeah. We'll see. So that's cool. I'll check that out.
Because
I like Atril's furry stuff.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to draw a pony. Wow, this anthro ponies are really popular. What else is anthro? Oh.
Everything.
Oh, wow.
I guess I'm a furry now.
I can make a lot of money over here.
Yeah, he had literally said that. I guess I'm a furry artist now. When he got his fur affinity.
What was the original?
Pony artist.
Ah.
Pony porn.
Well, he also did WoW fan art and stuff too. The guy had a bunch. He's been drawing forever.
Mm.
He's Hungarian, living in the UK. But he'd been doing WoW stuff and it looked really cool. And then he did the pony stuff and he got really he started out really rough, but then he just got better and better and better and better and better. And now he's fucking top tier when it comes to the art.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very particular style.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty hot.
Yeah. And he still does the pony stuff, but he also does a lot of furry stuff now too,
mm-hmm.
which has made a lot of his pony audience go, ew, furry. It's anthro horses, you dumb fucks.
It's really anthro rarity is okay, but anthro cat isn't. You know, get the fuck out. You know,
yeah, seriously. Anyway, so we should read some emails. We don't have a lot this week, and
all right,
I will start out with this rather wall of text email.
Okay.
It's titled, I'm taking this one for you, Shiva.
Thank you.
Just mm-hmm. just so you know, where do I even begin? Hey, Knockass, a crazy Arctic fox from the far-off tundra of Canada riding from my igloo. I've been a long-time listener and first-time writer. I've actually listened as far back as episode zero. The gasp! I remember when Clawcast had his whole with this trying to get others to become podcasters. Heck, me and a couple friends at the time even started one. I used to listen to you guys to figure out how to be better than all the competition. Ours went well for a while until we had to falling out, and I haven't talked to any of them since. Whoops. So I guess now that I've got a little bit of history out of the way, I can actually get to the meat and potatoes. I have been terribly hurt by a woman in the past, and I'm talking the kind of hurt that still leaves a sting two years later. I've developed several complexes since then, one of them being my weight. After the breakup, I went anorexic and literally shed 50 pounds in 2 months between not eating and working out for about 2 hours a night. I've since gotten down to a comfortable 170, 180 pounds. I think his autocorrect got him. But had dropped myself down to 155 pounds at the peak of the depression. Now, I've been dumped before in the past and been fine, but this last one has left me with trust issues. For the past 2.5 years, I've been in and out of relationships with women constantly, and I know it's because of my trust issues. Let's start with a little bit of backstory. I lived with this girl for 3 years in my parents' basement, paying my parents' rent. About a year and a half into the relationship, she got pregnant. After much deliberation between me, her, and her whole family, and my brother and sister-in-law, it was decided with a heavy heart that an abortion would be the best solution, as she had just been fired from her job. I was between jobs, and all in all, we were poor and not in good shape. She never forgave me for that, even though the whole way through I told her that ultimately it was her body and as such her decision in the end. I even bawled my eyes out at the abortion clinic thinking about what was happening. From there, it all went downhill. She began cheating on me and had caught her multiple times. All in all, we estimate she cheated on me with about 4 guys that we know of, 2 of which came out and told me, and at least one mutual friend that she had tried and he couldn't get it up because he felt too stressed about it. Well, I guess good on your friend that he didn't go all the way through, but he was still, like, cheating. At about the 2.5-year mark in the relationship, she got engaged to a man she met online in the brony community. Bronies. She continued to pretend to be interested in me just to keep a place to stay. When it was all said and done, I finally grew the courage to call her out and kick her out for it, and it left me feeling useless and ugly. And to top it all off, she continued to slander me to try to give me a bad name, going so far as to make things up about me to try and make me the bad guy. Here's a screenshot example of one of the slanderous posts she made. And apparently it's a Tumblr post. The warning I gave her is that I knew a couple of our mutual friends were going to post things on Facebook about her and that my ex should prepare for them or even remove those people ahead of time if she didn't want to see them in the, quote, cruel things I said about her were replies to people asking about how many people and things like that. It was me simply telling the truth when my close friends asked. All in all, basically, the whole post was full of lies. That brings me to now. I'm in a bit of a predicament in the love department. So far, life's been going really well. I got an amazing job. I just bought my first home, and I'm starting down a possible promotion at my job in the next couple months. And heck, I even got my eating disorder under check. But here's where things get sticky. I've met a girl that I'm beginning to grow fond of. I'm not at a point where I know I want to date her yet, but honestly think I'm heading that way. All my last, we'll call them relationships, have been just me finding women that I want to fool around with. I've lied and acted like I was someone I wasn't to get what I wanted. I've worried that I'm going to fall into the same trappings I've done with all the other women. And this is the one that I actually want to make work if I decide to go for it. I'm also deathly afraid of hurting her, as she's still a very innocent girl. We're both 23 and have a lot of common interests. Heck, she even draws for the fandom. And we both play tabletop D&D together. Honestly, I'd be happy with her just as one of my best friends if she turned me down, too. So after this mess of a wall of text, it finally brings me to a question to you guys. How do I know for sure I'm ready for a serious relationship again? And if I am, how do I know that this is someone I actually want to try to be with? And how do I get over the insane trust issues I developed from my last long-term relationship? Yours truly, the crazy fox from up north sticking his fingers in the live AC/DC inverter, Shirno the Fox. No, Shimo the Fox. P.S. Feel free to read this on air. P.S. I did not proofread this, so please excuse any muck-ups in grammar. Oh, and big balls. So
how do you know when you're ready to get back on the horse again? Well, for one, you're asking yourself this question. That's kind of when you first started considering, you don't go, oh, fuck, no. That's you're starting to get the inkling of, okay, maybe it's time. Trust issues, that's something that you're going to have to work on. Every person is different, and you got to kind of judge every person individually. And when it comes down to this girl, you maybe don't ask her out. Ask her to go do something with you. Ask her to go hang out. Hey, you want to go catch a movie? Hey, you want to do something? You know, just start being pally with her and friends and see if you like it. Take it slow. You know, you say you already played D&D with her. Okay, take it up at a notch and do something else.
Invite her to play video games.
No. Yeah, likes to play video games. Invite her over to do something.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
invite her to play D&D with the special Adam and Eve dice.
Ah, oh, sorry.
You lick nipple.
And eat a six.
Ass.
So it's kind of like,
you roll a one. Oh no, I have to decapitate you now.
Go slow. Get to know her. If it's cool as you keep upping the ante and she seems interested, play it a little deeper. And I don't mean fuck her. I mean just get to know her better and see how she feels.
Sorry, I mean, 12. I'm over here like, get to her gradually, an inch at a time. Are you still into me? Are you still into me? Balls deep now. Are you still into me?
Don't listen to Fuzz.
Yeah, don't listen to me. I'm feeling silly tonight.
Well, that's better than other things.
What?
Honorary.
Grumpy Fuzz.
Grumpy Fuzz? No, Grumpy. No Grumpy Fuzz.
So, just play it slow. Be a friend. And I don't mean, like, just be a friend. I mean, go do stuff with this girl if you like her. See if you keep liking her with the more time you spend with her and see where it goes. I mean,
you know, worst case, you're already friends with her.
Yeah, and like you said, if that's as far as it goes,
then you're good. Seriously, you sound like you've got your shit together, honestly. You got yourself a house. You're 20 fucking 3. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm 31 and I don't have a house yet.
Wait, he said he had a house?
He said that he's got a down payment on a house and he's got a good job coming up, and it's like he's doing all right for himself for that young.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, shit, if you end up with a good female friend that maybe has some side benefits, dude, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're actually in a pretty good position, like, friendship-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work out, you can still be friends. And, you know, disregard women acquire currency. if worst fucking case, seriously, dude.
Yeah.
You could do a lot
worse. You could be doing a lot worse
than just a female buddy.
Yeah. And with the trust issues, you're just going to have to talk it over with the person you're involved with. Because trust is two ways. She has to trust you. You have to trust her. And mm-hmm. you need to talk about the actual issues that you've had in the past and find out how she feels about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't just be like, I have trust issues. You need to enumerate what your issues are.
And where they came
and
from.
And why you have them. So.
Okay.
Anything else, Fuzz?
No.
Cool. Grab an email, Shiva.
Okay. Hi, Notcast. I've been having a lot of trouble with relationships since I first started dating. I've only had one really good relationship. We broke up because I said something incredibly stupid and offensive. I've not had the best past, and as a consequence, have random days where I need to just be alone, cry, and maybe get a hug. I'm emotionally damaged goods. Problem is, if I start dating someone, how do I tell them that I have these moments? Should I tell them I'm okay, I'll be fine, and that it happens without freaking them out and scaring them away? I think I should let them know. I mean, it's not fair to them to spring one of those days on them. Tell people you don't want to be with them at the moment, and most people take it personally and think they have done something wrong. Telling people about it, most people want to know why. I hate telling the stories. Rape, child abuse, abandonment, physical abuse, and the complete lack of a stable home for the entirety of my life, among other things. Telling everyone that kind of stuff, their first reaction is to feel sorry for me and rush to comfort me. I don't want that, I hate it, and I'm working through my problems as best I can. I spent enough time feeling sorry for myself, and I feel like an asshole saying this sometimes, but I'm sick and tired of people feeling sorry for me. I just want to warn them so that when I have one of those days where I can't handle everything anymore, they don't feel hurt when I shut everything, including them, out for a while. So the question is, how do I let them know what's wrong before things go wrong without scaring them off? I hope this isn't a wall of text, Legion Bunny. That's a pretty good question.
I think you kind of need to be, like, forthcoming, but not, like, 100% forthcoming.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I just want you to know, and it's like, I like you, you like me, we're cool, but some days I just can't, like, handle people. I can't even that day.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not in a serious relationship with them, that should be okay. You need to, like, just put it out there. It's like, there's some days where, like, I just can't fucking do stuff. It's not you, it's me. And some people will get turned off by that. And you don't have to tell them everything or reasons why. It's like, hey, you know, I have had all this fucked up shit happen to me. You don't want that. And, you know, you don't want them to feel sorry for you. You don't want their pity. So just be forthright and say, there's, you know, I just want you to know, like, hey, I like you, we're cool, we're dating, whatever. But I want you to know that there are some days where, like, I just can't deal. And if I hole up, it's not you, it's me.
You know, and you can always, if it came down to it, you could have come up with the care and feeding of Legion Bunny. And no, I've known a couple of people who have done this where they have had a couple of really bad in this, and they basically write up a care and feeding, whether it's a post or a blog or just a piece of paper where, so they don't have to explain it. It's like, look. It's
like, look at my blog.
Look, here's.
Go to my Tumblr.
You know, here's this. And it's also a good cathartic thing for you to do, to just sit down, get it down once. So you don't have to keep having this particular conversation with people. It's written down once, and you can say when you're writing it, hey, don't feel sorry for me. I've had enough feeling sorry, pity, whatever you want to call it. I'm working through it. Don't worry about me. I just need some time to breathe and get my feet back underneath me, and then I'll be good to go. I just need quiet alone and to get my shit back in order.
That's actually really smart.
So.
Really?
I think so.
I hate to be the voice of dissension. I'm probably just an asshole, but it feels like it would be a turnoff to me. I don't know.
Well, if you're going to be dealing with somebody where you know you've got baggage and you just want to.
I mean, like, I wouldn't go into 100% like deep detail.
Well, it's not even that. It's that I would rather, for me, I would rather the person talk to me directly and like have a heart-to-heart, like have a moment with me rather than just be like, hey, I need you to read my blog.
No, it's not. And it's coming back around to not being able to have this discussion again. And maybe it is a turn-off for you, but you have to also, if you're basically reliving a point of stress every time you have this discussion, you know, it's a way for you to. It's kind of impersonal, but on the other hand, it's a way to avoid.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's the impersonal part. Maybe if you split it up, you'd be like, look, I've had some things happen to me, and I sometimes need time alone. I really trust you. I've written it all down here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that more like?
Yeah, maybe do a slight lead in, and when if they ask like they need to know more, it's like, look here.
Yeah. Would you like to know more? Click here.
Yeah, then you don't have to go through actually explaining all the bad things that happened in your past.
You know, and you don't even need to enumerate it. You can say, I had multiple bad events in my childhood that have left me kind of off kilter some days.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my way of coping. Things are getting better, but this is the best way I've found to find my emotional stasis, is just to go be alone for a little bit, gather myself, and then, you know, I'm ready to deal with the world again.
Yeah. And at the same time, I mean, I think a lot of people would understand, because, you know, it's kind of common for just people in general. They're like, we want to get away for a little bit, and everyone needs their alone time, and, you know, some more than others. So, you know, if your partner notices that you're doing it more often, then yeah, you'd want to explain why.
Oh, and like, this happens in a lot of different ways. Cause I know that, like, after cons and stuff, after I've been around a lot of people for a long weekend, there are, like, days where I'm just like, I'm going to sit in the dark, quiet. Uh-huh. I'm not going to speak. I'm going to do what I need to do. There will not be noise. It will be quiet, and I will be in my little space.
Yeah, usually.
You know, retreating from the world is helpful and healthy.
Yeah, usually it's go into a darkened bedroom where it's cool and it's dark, and I usually grab, I've been reading on my phone, so I grab my Kindle and I read in the dark for a little bit, and I just recharge.
Yeah. Oh,
there's that. This next email we have is actually pretty interesting.
Okay, let's take a look there. So this is the one from Kalo Foxfire.
Yes.
Okay, subject is copyrighted characters and double standards. Hey, Notcast, just got finished ordering some stuff using coupon code NOT. I don't know if this was a limited time offer or not, but in addition to the 50% off one item and free standard shipping, I'm also apparently getting a free DVD set and mystery gift. I'll write to let you know what the mystery gift is when it gets here.
I think you have to hit a certain amount.
$17.
Yeah.
$17?
Yeah.
So,
and then
if they bought like the magic wand to vibrate their bits, they get the mystery gift and stuff.
Yeah. So my question involves copyrighted characters in the furry community. I kind of wonder if there's a double standard present regarding characters from cartoons, games, etc., and characters that furry artists have themselves made. People have basically zero issues with using, say, Renamon or Crystal to make and profit from artwork and comics and other media. When pressed, the defense of fair use and parody is brought up, and people get really righteously angry while framing it as a free speech issue and not a copyright one. But I have a feeling that if I was going to go and take a character that someone in the furry community created and make art with it without getting permission first, there would be a shitstorm of epic proportions. People would get just as righteously angry about a character being used without the creator's permissions in this case as they would about Nintendo or Sega or Hasbro trying to enforce their copyrights. I'm not trying to argue either side being right or wrong. I just think there's a double standard here.
And I agree 100%.
Oh, there totally is.
Yeah.
And it basically comes down to, I think, and this is kind of what I've seen over the years, is like when you talk about Pony or Don Carnage or any of the major companies' copyrighted characters, if you get porn drawn of them, usually the creator is far removed from it, and it usually belongs to a corporation. And it's a multi-thousand-million-dollar property, and this is scratching the surface. Whereas if you use, say, Chester or some of the other, or Acello, or some of the other ones, it's likely that the person that created it, who you could have reached out to, is going to see this versus, and, you know, and they're like, hey, I'm right here. You could have asked. You know, I might have said yes, but I'm right here. It's kind of like it's something that belongs to someone very small press, very individual. Mm-hmm. They may make a limited amount of money from this, but it's going to be scratching. It's a degree of closeness to the particular person than it is to when you use one of the big corporations' designs. And I know that some of the folks out there who have done some of the cartoons that get ripped off, you know, they can get a laugh out of it. And sometimes they get very offended. I mean, your miles may vary, but...
Rule 34 is a rule for a reason.
But it is 100% a double standard.
And what's interesting is it's no less copyright infringing if it's somebody's OC or the cartoon Rule 34 stuff.
Yeah.
The thing is, and this is the big difference, is that 99.99999% of the companies don't really give a fuck. Because somebody drawing a picture of Don Carnage fucking the shit out of Baloo Disney doesn't care. Disney might see that stuff. They probably don't. And even if they do, to do anything about it means they have to acknowledge it exists. And that is the bigger problem. They don't. They know it exists. It's totally right there. But they're not going to, like, they don't want to make an example out of that because that brings attention to the fact that that stuff exists. And that would harm their IP way, way more than them just leaving it be.
Now, you're far more likely to get Hasbro coming after you if you start mass producing shit with Pony on it.
Like the Furry Dakamakura guys.
Yeah.
They were selling Anthro Pony stuff, and some of them with cutie marks even, and they got reported, and Hasbro hammered down on them.
Yeah.
But then they got C&D'd, and that was it. They didn't, like, bring up lawsuits or nothing.
They now, just, if they had kept going, it probably would have gone there.
Yeah, and then that would have been, like, something you could find in, like, legal dockets and shit, and that would have been a potential issue. But Furry Dakamakura backed off. They
pulled their stuff.
They pulled their stuff. And now they still have some, they have like, they still have their Furry Dakamakuras, and they have like some OCs. I think Atril has a Beach Ball, which is their pony OC.
Yeah.
Both in Fuda and non-Fuda versions, because everything's fucking Fuda in the pony community. Jesus Christ.
Well, it's because they're also straight.
So very, very straight. Big tits and a massive horse cock. Nothing straighter than that.
No, I was just saying it was working really well.
Oh, I was just like, what? That's just a fan, not a giant
butthole. Horse cock, yeah. giant butthole.
So,
sorry, we bought a fan from the studio, and
it's working really well.
It is such a godsend.
Yeah. you shouldn't even be really, like, picking it up. There might be a little bit of buzz in the background, but it's not, like, bad at all. There's a shitstorm because in the furry community, you're using someone else's character. Like, if someone was using Saverin, the Fennec character in porn that, like, really was way outside my wheelhouse, I would be offended. But I also would kind of not give that much of a shit.
Well, and like,
unless they were, like, implying that I commissioned it, because that's not cool.
Yeah, well, and if I had found Shiva porn out there where, you know, guys, could you at least have told me you got me some art? You know, now, if it was something crazy like Vore or Unbirthing or any of the others.
Vore Unbirth.
Oh, God, stop listing all your fetishes, Shiva. You're grossing me out.
So if I had found something like that where it was really off, but if it was like my character...
Vore and Birth, you bite their head off and shove them up you.
I'm going to fuck you with your neck stump.
I'd be like, could you guys at least tell me you got me some art?
Right.
I'll put it on my gallery.
Yeah. I actually ran across someone who had, like, commissioned hate porn of somebody on the pony side of things. And I was like, I saw it, and like there was one comment that just said, "Oh, Loudy." And I know the person who was the quote victim of this, and I'm like, do I bring this to their attention or just let it lie? I voted to let it lie because it didn't get a lot of attention when it was made, and getting it more attention now.
Was it my OC?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
No, it was somebody else. And so it was like, yeah, this, I mean, it's just not cool. And there is a massive double standard, and nobody's going to deny it. But, you know, nobody is actually, Crystal is not the dream waifu of some dude. She's a character made by Nintendo. Renamon is not someone's spirit animal. It's a fucking Digimon. You know, you may really think Big Mac is hot as shit, but that's not somebody's OC.
It's not your
Hasbro property. You know, it's megalithic megacorps versus Johnny Foxcox and his red and black edgy OC who doesn't want to have his character infringed upon. So, I mean, I hope that makes sense to people.
After all these years, I still love the name Johnny Foxcox.
It's a great, like, generic furry name.
It really is. I kind of want to write a story about him.
So, yeah, there's a double standard. You are, in fact, right. And there's
not much to be done about it. Because.
Yeah. All right, last email.
That would be Fuzz.
No, I read that one.
Yeah, it was me.
Oh.
Because the last one's from the ever-awesome Kylie Rouge, but we have...
I thought we had one more.
Well, yeah, the one from Kylie.
The one from Kylie is about the website, so we'll have to answer that off air.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was probably going to contact her about that.
Yeah.
But this one's from Zia.
Yes, the awesome corgi, sales corgi. Dear Notcasters, before we get this ball rolling, feel free to slice parts of this email out.
Yo!
I am sure that by now you've all talked about Guardians of the Galaxy and how much fun the movie was, as well as the very understandable delight firsts have gotten for Rocket Raccoon. I'm surprised by the sheer volume of generally good artwork coming out with Rocket. Insert Rule 34 joke here. It was a fun movie for me, and at least I thought Rocket was really well done. That said, I wanted to bring up an issue for the Notcasters to discuss, at the very least to bring awareness to a tragic situation. I know this isn't Notcast Wheelhouse, and you have a number of delightful Fox jokes to make, but considering the delight this fandom has in Rocket, I thought I'd bring it up. As many people are aware, the original creators of Rocket Raccoon, Bill Mantlo and Keith Giffen, are still around and were given space in the movie credits. They have both been major creators and figures in comic books. Mantlo helped design the Hulk, Rom Space Knight, I'm sure we're all excited for that movie when it eventually comes out, and Rocket Raccoon. He's done a lot of good comics. However, in 1992, Bill Mantlo, while rollerblading, was struck by a car in a hit-and-run incident. The driver was never identified, and Mantlo, who had started work as a public defense lawyer, suffered a traumatic brain injury. He's been in a long-term care facility for well over a decade, cared for by his brother and sister-in-law. Marvel has apparently done a lot to help the guy, who created several major properties for them, including giving him a private screening of the Guardians movie, see attached article. He could be in a much worse position in life, but at the same time, things could be better for him, and as his care is expensive. I know a lot of furs are still struggling in a difficult economy. We have to watch out for ourselves. I also don't want to pressure people into giving money to a cause just based on sentiment. Still, I'd like people to at least know that there is an ongoing funding initiative to help the creator of Rocket Raccoon to see a decent quality of life after a tragic accident. I've attached the article about that below, if you can find it using a search. But you can find it using a search engine and typing in Bill Mantlo Ongoing Care. Thank you for your time and the great podcast. Best, Zia. Yeah.
So why don't we include the link?
We'll put that in the show notes and on our Tumblr.
Yes.
Because we have a Tumblr and we're using it now.
Zia's right. I've seen a lot of really, really good Rocket art out there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of really just cute.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually seen anything explicit with him. It's all been usually, I can't think of any that I can think of that he wasn't fully clothed or usually doing something with Groot.
His cute little outfit.
And usually something with Groot, carrying it, watering it.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So, Rukus did an adult piece with him where he was having sex with his otter girlfriend from the comics.
Oh.
So that was a pretty hot pick. Really,
at least not having sex with Groot. Thank you.
Yeah. That's really the only outright sex one I've seen. There's another Cheetah Paws did one of him posing, and he was looking very bulgy in his little outfit.
He adjusts himself in that one scene.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? Have you seen the movie yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They went and saw it.
Yeah.
Me and Tyrion.
As Tilton said so. On Twitter, he has to adjust his fat raccoon dick.
Yeah, Tilton would say that.
Yeah,
he's a little bit biased.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we'll put that into the show notes and on our Tumblr, because Tumblr and show notes are now one and the same, more or less.
Pretty much. Yep.
Thank you for writing in, Zia, and bringing that to our attention, because there's going to be a lot of new furries thanks to Rocket. Just saying. You know, there's that one.
Oh, yeah.
That there's a comics, like, what was your first crush? And someone's like, oh, it was, you know, Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Another person's like, oh, it was, you know, dude in movie. And the person's like, what was yours? And she's like, I don't know, guys. And she's thinking about Rocket. Like, no one must ever know. Like, I thought I was going to like Batista, but no, I want to bone that raccoon.
The thing is, I really like him. I don't want to bone him.
The fucking looks like a raccoon. There is no anthro to him other than the fact that he talks.
Yes. Now.
I mean, and raccoons can actually walk around on their hind legs a little bit.
That's true.
So it's not like it's really out farther. And there was actually something, I think it was Tilton posted. It was a raccoon standing on its hind legs outside a window.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, hi, I'm Rocket from that movie you like. Do you have pizza?
Aww.
But it was standing at the glass door on its hind legs.
Cute.
All right. Well.
So it's now 9:48, and we're done with our emails. And I think we'll just put a bow on this and...
call it done.
Call it done.
Sticking a fork in it, that podcast is done.
Yep. So we... What should we have for next week?
Next week, well, you'll be here, but you'll be a little late, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little late to podcast, so I might come in about halfway through or so if you guys are still going.
Yeah. Oh, and one cool thing moment.
I was wondering what book that was there.
Very shiny.
I have picked up, or I got, actually, I pre-ordered it the day it came available.
You told me about this.
Phoebe and Her Unicorn, a Heavenly Nostrils compilation by Dana Simpson. It is out and about. Dana Simpson, who also did Ozzy and Millie.
Mm-hmm.
She is doing Heavenly Nostrils now. It is about a girl, Phoebe, and her pet unicorn. Or not pet, but friend unicorn.
Oh.
And it's very Calvin and Hobbes in a lot of ways.
Oh, okay.
And is syndicated in proper newspapers and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's really cool.
That's cool.
I saw her at BabsCon back in April and was like, oh, I love your stuff. I've loved your stuff for a long time. It's great to see you. Great to meet you. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of a fanboy moment.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I because
she's been
it like
drawn the, like Ozzy and Millie goes back to like the 90s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love Ozzy and Millie.
Yeah, I got it. It just came out. It's really cute because it's like a very sparkly cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
it
actually,
will fit in perfectly with all your MLP stuff because it's like pink and sparkly.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's fucking full color too.
Yeah.
And now I want to just sit and read it after paging through and reading a couple.
But yeah, it's a full color. And it's actually pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It's 222 pages.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it looked like a couple hundred pages.
And it actually, like, on the back end, it has, like, a little how to draw marigolds, how to draw Phoebe. But there's 215 pages of comic, and then, like, another further, like, 7 or 8 pages of just, hey, this is some other cool supplemental sketchy stuff.
Yeah.
So... it's like $15, I think. No, it's $10. $10 fucking dollars. Go buy this, you cheap motherfuckers. Go buy it now. On
was
Amazon.
It one that she kickstarted? Or
no, it's just a proper release.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fucking Garfield book, except it's high quality.
I just found it on Amazon.
Is it like $10?
Yeah. Actually, it's $8.99. It's on sale.
And is it Amazon Prime eligible?
Yes, it is.
Buy that shit, people. Come on.
I might pick one up. I'm adding it to my wish list to remember for later.
Cool.
Saverin is passionate about this.
Hey, I have been a fan of theirs for a long time. So it's cool to see that they're still successful in their endeavors.
Sweet.
So on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.